Well, good morning, everybody. I got a feeling you can all hear me, and hopefully Josh has had a chance to introduce himself and the IBIS group. It is a great day. I'm glad you all took this time out to join us this morning. And I also want to say thanks to Josh and the IBIS group for stepping up once again to the plate to sponsor this morning's session. In these continuing turbulent times, we have to continually upgrade our skills. We all know that. This may not be the worst market I've ever seen, but it's definitely a pros market. A good deal of your competitors fell short in developing new skills for this market, and I think that's why they're gone, or a lot of them are gone, let's put it that way, 60-65% from a year ago. So I hope that you're all experiencing a reasonable amount of positive results for the effort that you're putting in. And if not, hopefully today's topic will help increase your bottom line and get some of your borrowers off the fence. So here's my objective, very simple. We've got a short time, but I want to give you some tangible tools you can use as soon as we hang up that will help you get from hello to where do I sign? Because I really believe that closing the sale is the weakest link in the selling chain today. It's not marketing. It's not putting the time in. It's not working harder. It's getting somebody, again, to say, where do I sign? So listen for a nugget that you can use that matches your style, your personality. And I'm also going to give you some tools that was going to help us shorten the sales cycle. I think that's critical, not only in today's market, but in any market. So just quickly, a couple of notes on the current reality. I think one of the biggest changes that we've seen from this market, from the market in 2003, 4, 5, and 6, is in the way that, number one, we market, but also in the way that we try to attract customers. You know, it was only a short time ago that all of our efforts in marketing were tied to having the greatest number of people respond to whatever it is that we did in marketing. It was all about response because we knew at that time in that market there was a loan for everybody. So if I could get the phone to ring enough times or I could meet enough people or I could send out enough brochures, it was pretty well a done deal that I can get 7 out of 10 people a loan. Well, today that's not the truth. Today we know it's more about conversion than it is about response. We've got to go through a lot more people to get that prospect and go through a lot more prospects to get that real client that's going to step up and make a decision. So I still believe marketing is a big waste of money. That's not the topic of today's call. It's not about marketing, but it is a waste of money, I say, right up until somebody says, where do I sign? You see, marketing very clearly is for one reason. It's really about creating interest. And then here comes sales. You see, sales is what creates revenue. It's not marketing. Marketing, at best, creates a reasonably interested consumer. But it's sales that creates revenue. So I think we got to keep that very clear. There's not much margin for error in that today. We don't have a safety net. We don't have 25, 30 loans in the pipeline getting ready to back up that one that we got today. So I think, again, we got to be dead on. I believe you got to systemize every area of your business today, including sales. And I say system. For some people, it's easier to understand that I can have a system for marketing, but a system for sales? Well, I really believe you do. Because without a system for selling, you're going to be at the mercy of your buyer's system for buying, and that ain't good. See, to me, that ain't good. If I'm at the mercy of my buyer's system for buying, that includes stalling and thinking it over and putting off decisions. That sales cycle just got way too long. I think, again, we got to be dead on this because the consumer today is basically confused. Do you blame them? Think of all the mixed messages that they're bombarded with every day in this market. So, by the way, a confused mind always says no. There's your first tip, by the way, right there. There's a clue there that a confused mind always says no. So part of it is we've got to come up with ways to help the borrower, help the buyer, create clarity. I think that's what we're challenged with because, again, I really believe the customer today has got too many mixed messages. And with mixed messages, you know what that creates. That creates putting off a decision, and becoming discouraged probably more than anything else. So given that, and given this, my belief in systems, I'm going to give you my step-by-step system for turning prospects into profits. Now, profits meaning P-R-O-F-I-T-S, profits, kind of bottom line money. It's going to be the Reader's Digest version, but I really believe that you're going to be able to glean something in the next few minutes that you will be able to, again, use with people that you're working with right now, people that are sitting on the fence, that you have had conversations with in the past. So you can't really skip any of these steps, by the way. I'm going to slow it down. This is going to be slow motion, but clearly these are seven steps, again, to get from hello to where do I sign with trust and confidence in you. So you can't skip steps, and you can't go out of order. It's kind of like each step sort of builds on the next. And remember, it's slow motion. Some of the steps I'm going to talk about can go a lot more quickly than I'm going to describe and go over them, but I think I really want I want you to really get a sense of what we're trying to build here through these through this system for selling. And of course, you can't be passive in any of these. This isn't the time. This isn't the market. This isn't the day. This isn't the time to be passive. This is a time that you've got to be dead on, straight up, bottom line, with every customer that you meet, every prospect, or every suspect. And I think, again, you know, passive, it's not the time. Not in this market. Not for sales. Passive salespeople definitely have skinny kids, and this is no better time to realize that than any other time. So let's start. Let's kick it off. Step by step, seven steps to get from hello to where do I sign. The first step is, I'm just going to say this, and you're going to go, oh, I already know that. But the first step is preparation. I think you really have to be prepared today in this market. I think preparation is the mark of a professional in any field. It really is like creating, it's like creating home field advantage. Just that alone. So I really believe that you've got to be prepared today, not only mentally to start with. Again, we talk about the confusion with the customer. What about our own confusion? I mean, today you've got to be absolutely wired in yourself, your attitude, what you believe about the market. And I think it starts with that, what you believe about the market. It's going to be hard for you to convince people that today is the day to move forward, or that today is the day to make a decision if you're not all in yourself. So it kind of starts with that. It starts with, I think passion will come out of a belief in what you're doing. And again, passion sells. There's another clue. Passion sells. Product knowledge, I think, creates credibility, let's put it that way, and trust. And where does product knowledge come from? Preparation. The good news is you don't have 50,000 loans to learn about anymore. You got basically four, okay? FHA, VA, conventional, maybe one of these. So really, product knowledge not only creates credibility, it begins to create trust in your customer. See, a consumer or your customer won't begin to listen to you or anyone that doesn't have a firm grasp on their product. Yet, whether you're selling loans, whether you're selling real estate, whether you're selling ice cream cones, you got to believe in your product, you got to understand your product, and you've got to be able to transfer that knowledge to your customers so they get it. And where does that all come from? Comes from preparation. Now, be careful. Just become an expert. People want to deal with professionals today. They want to deal with an expert, but only become the expert on the product that you're selling. Does that make sense? Just the product you're selling. If you're not selling the USDA rural property loans, forget learning all about that. What do you care? Become, again, the expert. Maybe it's like less rather than more, okay? Whatever product you're marketing, whatever your area dictates, that's the area that you want to become an expert at. Okay, enough of that. But I think you've got a solid foundation, again, comes from just being prepared. And again, that changes, it seems like, every day, especially in this market. It changes every day. So preparation, first step. Step number two, now that you've got yourself prepared, you know your product, step number two, now this could either be in meeting a customer, picking up the telephone, outgoing call to a customer, somebody calling you. But the second step in this selling system is what I call connection. This is where this is that initial point where you make that connection with the customer, with the prospect. It's all about building rapport in this step. And you can't leave this one out. I don't care how prepared you are, but if you can't make some sort of a connection to your customer in building rapport, it's not going to really matter. See, I think that the best people, the best salespeople, are relationship experts. Well, what about product? Yeah, and product knowledge. See, that's already a given. We've got that. But now the next step is building that relationship. And remember, you don't have a long time to do that. It isn't like we've got 7 months to date somebody to get to know them. You got about 7 seconds. Okay, so I think that it starts with you being absolutely interested in the person that you're talking to, interested in their needs, interested in their concerns, interested in how they see the marketplace. It starts with just being interested. And again, I think you only have that 7 to 10 seconds to generate some interest in you. Now, I always felt that the way I can get people more interested in what I have to say is be real interested in what they have to say. So it starts with that. Start using their name. Even that is kind of honoring for people, is using their name. Well, how do you know their name? You ask them. It's kind of interesting. If you say, or if I say to somebody, hey, my name's Bill, and you are, most people will give me their first name. Oh, I'm Madeline. Oh, but if you said, hey, my name's Bill Sparkman, and you are, most people will give you, I'm Madeline Wilson. I don't know how that works. But use their name. It also lets people know that you're listening. So use their name. There's an article I wrote called The Great Balancing Act. It's right on my website. And really it talks about the need to balance building relationship, rapport, connection, and all that, building that, but at the same time balancing that with selling. Does that make sense? There's some people that are really good at this step. They're really good at building relationships. Oh, they go on and talk about people and the weather, and they make great zucchini bread, and they just are really good at building relationships. You may know some in your office. But where they fall short is in closing the sale. So I don't think you can be addicted to either one. If you become addicted to connection, just spending all your time getting to know people and, hey, what do you think? Well, sooner or later, we got to move on. But I think it's that very beginning step where somebody begins to get a little bit about who you are, what you believe, and where you're coming from. I think it starts just in that step alone. So don't be addicted to either one. Kind of make that, be sure that you're balanced in both, because there are some other people that are really on the other side of the scale. You know, every nail they see, they're the hammer. I mean, they can close anybody. There's dead bodies everywhere they go. They don't have time to build relationship, okay? So, again, it's not being addicted to either one. It's finding a balance between the two. Yeah, make a connection, and then let's move on. I think I'll give you a tool here, one of your tools for this that you might look at and maybe get even clearer about this step is even your voicemail. See, if you're using voicemail in your business, that alone is the very first opportunity somebody gets to hear your voice. Now, I always say, what did it sound like? Does it sound like you really believe in your product? Do you believe in the market? Do you believe in your company? Do you believe in yourself? Does it sound like you're a little upbeat? Does that make sense? Like some of you on the call today, I call a lot of people and get a lot of voicemail. It's pretty much nobody seems to want to talk to anybody anymore, so I guess that's the way it is. And most of the voicemail I hear sounds like somebody stole somebody's food or somebody stole their dog. I mean, it doesn't sound like, and remember, connection doesn't even have to be you and I talking together. It could start again just from a voicemail. See, I say in this market, you can't miss anything. It's the little things that keep adding up. You don't have the margin for error. So maybe when the call's done today, call your own voice. Listen, does it sound like somebody that's a little upbeat? Does it sound like somebody that you'd like to leave a message for to talk further And I think it can start with that. That's not the end of the world, by the way. But I think in the scheme of things today, with all that we have going on, I think you've got definitely have to concentrate your efforts on those areas that you can control. I can't control the market. I don't know what's going to go on today. I have no idea what will go on tomorrow. All I know is I've got to control the things that I can myself, and it can be as simple as making sure that when somebody leaves me a message, it sounds like it's somebody they're going to want to talk to. So enough of that. I think in connection, here's your number one tool in building it, energy. Just write, if you're not driving, just write that. Energy builds connection. People get attracted to people that have high energy. I don't know how that works. I don't care how it works. Doesn't matter how it works. I just know that energy is like a magnet. It's like enthusiasm. It's a magnet. Now, enthusiasm without talent is going to produce a bunch of excited poor people. You see, it does take the balance of the two. But if you were to look on that one step of connection, maybe that's the one thing you put right there. It's just energy. Energy, care about what people are saying. Start to build a little rapport. And remember, you only have about 10 seconds to get that first step done. All right, step three. We're prepared. I've made a connection. Now it's time to get down. Step three is called discovery. Discovery is a third step in closing the deal for me. It's like, now that you build this little connection, now let's move on, all right? Remember, we don't have to build a relationship here for an hour. I got it. Mary, I'm glad you called. This is a great day, blah, blah, blah. And now let's move on. Discovery is where you can really begin to discover your prospects' wants, needs, and desires. That's nothing new. For some of you, go, well, duh, that's what I always do. I ask them, what do they want? Well, but again, systematically, there's tools to use that can actually accelerate that process for you. I don't have all day to try to figure out what somebody wants, what they need, what they desire, what's important. So I think you've got to get to the point. But remember, your biggest tool here is that you ask great questions. Don't be prepared to all of a sudden start spouting off and telling somebody that you've met everything you know. People don't care how much you know. They don't care all your product knowledge yet. That'll come to play. Does that make sense? Product knowledge will come to play, but not here. This is all about them and not about you. You got two ears, you got one mouth. This is where you absolutely use them in proportion at this time. So ask great questions. I'm always curious. This is where I want you to be nosy. You know, my mom told me growing up, don't be so nosy. Well, I think it's a quality of a great salesperson, especially in our business today. You got to be a little nosy. See, I use that as a tool to ask more questions. Ask questions that create curiosity. They want to ask a question so that maybe the response is, I'm not really sure. How does that work? That will engage the prospect. So the questions, yeah, this is a whole step just about asking questions. This is the, you know, there's a definition of malpractice that is prescribing medication to someone before examining the patient. Well, that happens in our industry all the time. In mortgage business, for sure. People, well, here's what you need. Well, how do you know that's what they need? Slow down a little bit. I like that one guy, what was Columbo. You know, Columbo was one of those guys that you always thought you were getting rid of him, and he always had one more question. Oh, by the way. And I like that one. I like, oh, by the way. A tool in this step, number one, is asking questions that create curiosity. The tool is, again, to be interested, focus more on what your customer is saying. Again, you got to be a great listener here, and you have to help create clarity. Remember, a confused mind always says no. So even in the step of discovery, I want you to ask questions, but then help the prospect, help your customer get clear. And how do you help them get clear? Ask them more questions. I like the three words, tell me more. Just tell me more about that, or how did you arrive at that, or where did that come from? Who told you that? Just get people. This is I'm a conversationalist, I think, more than anything else in selling. So discovery, ask questions. One more tool here is called ask, listen, solve. Ask a great question. Listen to what they say. So solve their problem. If you can't solve their problem, bid them adieu. Thank you very much. I'm not the one. I can't help you. Does that make sense? Don't the days are gone. Well, I can get anybody alone. I can help you. Ask, listen, solve. If you know you can't solve their problem, you have to move on as gracefully as you can and as truthfully as you can. But the key is, this is a great tool. Just ask, listen, solve. Because if you can get those three straight, you got a shot. I don't know if they're going to give you a loan, or they're going to buy a house, or what they're going to do. But I'll tell you what, we got a shot. A couple of examples of creating curiosity, by the way, and emotion. Today, people don't buy houses logically. They don't buy loan programs logically. They don't do anything logically. It seems like everything that's done, every sale that's made, is made out of emotion. So part of it in discovery, I think it starts with being able to create some emotion for people, create, again, curiosity. Well, let's just say in the mortgage business, somebody says again, hey, what are your interest rates? It seems to be a favorite question. Of course, it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. I mean, that's always a favorite question. But you see, you can't win that answer. So here is where I say is keep the focus on questions. Create emotion. I suggest asking them a question. What am I right? Let me ask you a question. What's more important to you and your family? Is it the interest rate, or is it the payment itself? What would be more important to you? You see, payment creates emotion, rate creates logic, and again, you can't win that. So just make them think a little bit also through your questions. What is my interest rate? Let me ask you, what kind of a mortgage are you interested in? See, what kind of a mortgage? People don't know that there's more kind. They know there's 31 flavors ice cream, but they don't know that we really have. Somebody says, well, I need a fixed rate. Well, get the conversation going. You want a fixed rate? Great. What kind of fixed rate you want? I don't know. There's more than one? Well, of course, I got a 3-year, I got a 5-year, I got a 7-year, I got a 10-year, I got a 15-year amortized, I got a 30. Well, see, first of all, you're starting to show off one thing, that's your product knowledge. Second of all, creating curiosity. So I guess enough of that. If it was just about us, spouting and giving interest rates, I really don't need that. In my company, a loan officer's job was not to quote interest rates. I could fire everybody and just run ads in the paper. In the loan business, the loan officer's job is to be the bridge between the interest rate and the value perceived by the customer. So you actually now have to become that bridge. So enough of discovery, couple of tools, questions, generate curiosity, see if you can evoke emotion. Don't prescribe the answer too soon. See, in discovery, you don't even get to say, well, okay, based on what you told me, here's what I got. No, not yet. See, I wanted to be very distinct step. Just get to know really what their needs are. And I say their real needs. You know, most of the people, the first three or four things I tell you anyway, that's not it. You got to keep digging. Okay, well, if it wasn't about rate, what would it be about? Well, actually, it's payment. We need a low payment because of this, this, and that. Great. Now we're getting somewhere. End of step three. Step four, you've got the information you need, made a connection, you know your product. Now here's where product knowledge comes in. Step four is called matching. I don't know how else to say that. Here's now where you match your customer, the prospect, their needs, what they just told you. This is what we need. And now you match that to the right product. You see, now is where product knowledge comes in. That's why we do preparation. You know your stuff. You don't have to say, well, based on what you told me, let me put together four or five scenarios, and I'll email them to you. No. See, this matching, here's a tool. I mean, I don't know if it's a tool, but here's a real key and a real requirement, I say, of any great salesperson. It's called thinking on your feet. See, thinking on your feet is what matching is all about. See, this isn't about saying, well, let me go back and check with this, and I'll try to get some. No. See, thinking on your feet comes from preparation. See, being able to think on your feet, it comes from your ability to know your product, be a pro, be an expert, be a professional. That's what the market demands today, and that's what matching demands. So matching their needs, their desires, what they really want to produce, and I say really, because you got to the bottom of it, what they really are trying to produce, And now you got to kind of see if you can solve it. Remember, ask, listen, solve. So now just match it up with the right product. This is where we begin to negotiate solutions. Right here is where you negotiate value. You start to bring benefits to the table. Do you see that? See, the product is just a product. We don't sell commodities. Oh, here's a loan. It's a blue one. Here's what you get, a green one. See, what we're really doing now is being able to clarify the benefits, the values, and the solution. That's what we need the loan officer for. Does that make sense? That's what a realtor does. They don't want to go, well, there's a blue house, and you wanted a blue one. What do you think? Now they start talking about value and the benefits and the solutions that this home will provide to their family, and as well as this loan. So, see, again, this is where product knowledge better come in. You got to know your stuff because, again, in the absence of value, the customer will always choose price. You see, they've called and they've talked to other people, and if all the other people they've talked to just had a lower price than you, well, you're out of business. We can't build a business, build a sales presentation on price. Price makes you, if that's all you can sell, you become very disposable to your company. You become very replaceable. Great salespeople. 94% of all sales, they say, I don't know if it's true, are made on a non-price basis. Well, just in case it's true, I don't know if it really is, but just in case it is, that's too big of a number to not really look at that. So I say that in the absence of value, in the presence of value, solutions and benefits, price will become a detail. Now, that's almost smart. You see, in the absence of value, they're going to choose price. They're just going to go, well, that's the lowest price. Let's take that one. In the presence of value, solutions and benefits, price becomes a detail. I didn't say it didn't matter. Of course it matters. But it becomes more of a detail because now you've got them, they're really focusing on something a lot larger than that, and if you can make the price work. So here's a tool for matching, other than know your product, really be able to solve their problem or not. If you can't bring if you can't sell yourself, there's a benefit, then, what are we doing? You see how in 2003, 4, 5, and 6, oh, this step got left out. Somebody just went, hey, here, take this this pick a payment option arm, wacky whatever loan, and your payment will be, whatever. See, that was malpractice. They didn't really match the right product to the real needs. There was no benefits, value, solutions. It was just an answer. So I think this is where the pro steps up. But now another tool is keep it simple. Only give them two options. That's kind of my rule. I don't know what yours is. I don't need that. I don't know. Remember, I'm not real technical. I don't need that big technical program that lays out five different loan programs. And all I'm going to do is confuse them more. You know what I mean? See, matching is where you can bring two solutions to the table. I want to give you two options. They can get you from where you told me you are to where you said you'd like to get to. Here's two ways we can get there. See, I think most people can really understand two ways. I start giving them four or five different loans. We got we have a 7-year fixed, but then we have a 5-year fixed, and here's the difference in those. But then over the life of the loan, if we did a 15-year versus a 30, it's like, you know what? Now they're totally goofed up. So two options. And if you really did your job in discovery, this is where you go for a trial close. I'm not sure what the trial close means. I know that's a jargon word. It's kind of, hey, if you see a sparkle in their eye, stop presenting. Stop matching, okay? Because that's all matching really is. It's your presentation now. It's your presentation of solutions, values, and benefits. So, but if you see a sparkle in their eye, close the book. It's done. Let's go. Get out of here. You got things to do. I know there's some people that go, nope, I have 4 more points. I'm going to cover my presentation. Come on. You're going to talk. I've done it. I talked myself right out of the deal. I had them, then I lost them, then I had them, but then I lost them again. No, sparkle in their eye. It's time to shut her down. Okay, so stop presenting. My latest book, How to Sell to an Idiot. There's a chapter called Change the Tire That's Flat, and I think that really has a lot more to do with discovery, but especially in matching. You know, that front tire's got plenty of air in it. Why do you keep messing around with it? It's that left rear tire that's flatter than it can be. See, change that tire. Quit messing with the front right rear. See, you'll know you're changing the wrong tire because of the response you get from the people. Indifference. All of a sudden, they just, you ever have these, they just stop talking? All of a sudden, they're just sitting there looking at you, and you're like, uh-oh, what happened? I've been in their house, having to get up. Husband gets up and walks away. I thought he went to the bathroom. He doesn't come back. It's like, there's a clue. You lost him. Okay. There's a clue. You probably confused him a little bit. All right. So anyway, a matching, a good time for a trial close. But let's say that they're not ready. They don't have that sparkle yet. Got to go to step number five. Step number five for me is a step that sits left out more than anything else. I'm going to call it close for agreement. I don't know what you call that. You mean give them your Ben Franklin clothes and the alternative choice, the tie down, the porcupine clothes. I said close for agreement. Agreement could be a lot of things. Get out of my house. I hate you. I'm not buying your product. That wouldn't be the agreement that I'm looking for. But this is really where you bring it home. And generating agreement is just another way of saying it. It is close for sale. Generating agreement. You see that your customer, your prospect, will not close themselves. They are not going to interrupt you in the middle of your presentation and say, "That's good. Stop. Close me, baby." They don't do that. They're going to sit there with that look on their face. Hopefully it's one of, again, that we're looking for, of the curiosity even, but they're not going to close themselves. You've got to gain agreement from people. And I say this, if you have delivered the goods of value, solutions, and benefits, if you actually could say, "I delivered," then for me, closing's kind of natural. It should be natural. It shouldn't be the final conflict. Does that make sense? This isn't a conflict here. Again, if you've delivered benefit, value, and solutions, it's kind of like the next thing. I don't even know how to be. I don't even know how to be cute about it. It's like asking for the order here is pretty simple. It could be as simple as, "Should I get started? Should I get to work? Should we get going?" I mean, I don't know how to say that. And you'll know if you've delivered value, solutions, and benefits, because if you haven't, they'll go, "No, we need to think it over. We need to do." See, I thought they were the idiot until one day I went, "Wait a minute, maybe I'm the idiot, okay? I haven't really listened. I didn't really get their trust and confidence in that step of connection. I matched the wrong product, and now I'm trying to close them." See, I went back to, maybe it's me. See, I think here is where you are very direct and bottom line. In the matching step, I always say to people, I want to explain this to you guys so it's really simple to understand. How about that? Because I'm a consumer like you, and this whole business has gotten where you can half understand it. See, I think people want it simple, but they don't know how to ask for that. So I just bring it up. I want to and do it. So in the closing for agreement, I ask people, I want to be real direct and bottom line with you guys. Is that okay? I mean, what are they going to say? No, beat around the bush? And then again, this is where you go and you ask for the order. It should be natural. See if you can get started. Don't give them all this. Don't make it too technical for people. Now, if they still are not ready to make a decision, this is getting like crunch time, most weak salespeople will go to another close. The people say, "No, we need to think it over," or, "We're not really ready. We're not really sure." The most weaker salespeople, or remember the hammer? He'll just keep hammering. Well, so what's the deal? Come on, I made the what they do is they keep closing, which begins to create distance between you and your customer. I'm saying let's not be the hammer. Maybe be a velvet hammer. if I can't gain agreement, if I say, "Hey, should I get started? Should we get going? I can get this done for you in 48 days. Let's get going. The next step." If I can't, I suggest now that you go back to the discovery step, step three. Why? Because you didn't listen, or you couldn't solve their problem, or something. See, go back to discovery. Maybe this is a time where you say, "Okay, guys, let's do this. I'm sure I missed something," and I always put it on me. I'm sure I missed something, so let me just put this aside. And if you're with somebody in person, it's kind of cool. Close up your little book, and they go, "Wow, what are we doing?" And I just go back and take out a pen and go, "You know what? I'm sure I missed something. It was a critical detail." So. Let me just get clear again. So go back to asking questions. go back to discovery. You don't have to beat them up over the head. I think people will look at that as fairly honoring to them, that maybe you did miss something. And remember, if you continue to try to close somebody that's not ready, you know, who's the idiot now? Yeah, I always said, I guess it's probably me, so I'm going to go back to that. All right, step five, now, you went back to discovery, and you know what? You ain't getting nowhere. Step number six for me is an art more than a step. And step number six is generating objections. You've all seen, read every seminar, every book. There's a million of them. It's called How to Overcome Objections. I get emails every day, Bill, I need some coaching on really how to overcome objections. And see, that's not even the point. We spent so much time overcoming objections, we never really got trained well at how to generate an objection. And not only that, generate the right one. But remember, weak salespeople, they aren't interested in talking about objections, especially if it's one called stalling or we need to think it over or postponing making a decision. They're not really trained to do that. So I say, here's where you come in, generate objections. Here would be an example of one that I think we've all heard that we have to get better at, and it's the one that it's either think it over, they're stalling, they're on the fence, I don't know what we should do, we need to think it over, go to church, go talk to our neighbor, call our accountant. I mean, we've all had a variation of that. But here's where you've got to really find a way, first of all, to understand why they do that. I mean, like, I was wondering, wait a second, what are you going to be thinking over? We just got you the house. It's the perfect payment. We matched everything that you said. I just don't get it. Well, postponing making a decision, first of all, I learned, I didn't know this because nobody told me, I learned that it was a natural human dynamic. And do you know that sometimes people put off making a decision even if they know the decision they're putting off is in their best interest? Now, you want to talk about a goofy job that we've got? This is crazy. If it's in their best interest and they know it, why do they keep stalling? Well, it's natural, but you and I have to understand, I guess, at the very beginning of really why they do that. Why do people stall? If I can understand that, hey, maybe I got a chance at bringing some clarity even to that situation. So I think a couple of the reasons people put off making a decision is, number one, today it's the media. Number one, I'll go back to the beginning. People are confused. And they're so confused, and if you gave them a little bit more confusion, now they're totally confused. They're going to just say, hey, you know what, I can't do it. See, the media every day tells people don't buy houses. True or false? Think of it, every single day. Fox News, CNN, USA Today, don't buy. Prices are going down. There's going to be a flood of more homes, foreclosure, short sale, declining market, negative equity. I mean, come on. The media, in their campaign, is saying don't buy a house. You're sitting there going, we got you the house. We got the loan that works. They're saying it. I'm not sure. So they're, one of the reasons that they may postpone is that they're just still, we're confused again. I created a report. If you'd like a copy of it, just let Josh know at IBIS. I'd be happy to give it to you. It's called The Top 10 Reasons Why This is the Best Buyer's Market in 10 Years. I created that report for one reason. You can't just tell people, hey, it's a great time to buy. Really? Why? See, that people today need to know, why is this a good time? Everything I've read, everything I heard, everything that I've been told is it's not a good time. We should wait for prices to go lower. See, you have to be a great salesperson. There's an objection right there. There's an objection, and it's called, we're messed up. And see, now it's tools I have to use. I got to show them this report. I can talk about some things that might have been overlooked. Another reason they put off making a decision is what I call fear of making a mistake. People just don't want to make a mistake, so they don't make any decision at all. Okay? If you can flush that out, maybe you can help in your compassionate way help overcome that. They'll put off making a decision because there's a fear of a better deal. We're going to think it over because they're thinking, oh, God, you know, maybe somebody's got a better deal. We're not sure. If that's the truth, you probably didn't do a very good job in preparation and connection. You probably really haven't built that rapport that started to generate confidence in you. But just so you know, there are people that won't make a decision just because of the fear of a better deal. Sears knows about that. I see what they do now in their commercials. Somebody's going to buy, I don't know, a washer and dryer, and they say, well, we're going to shop around. And the guy says, hey, come on over to the computer. They have every store, every competitor, the exact model and their price. That's pretty good. That took away that objection. Well, guess what? There ain't a better deal. Now, for us, it's a little bit more difficult. Another reason they will postpone making a decision is you haven't created enough emotion yet. It's still just a loan, just a house, just a means to an end. It's a commodity. You really haven't delivered and brought home in your matching step that solution, value, and benefit still. So they're, you know, they're okay, well, pretty good, not bad. It's still just kind of a logical thing. People don't buy homes. They buy a quality of life. It's different than just a house. Great realtors know how to bring that home, that this is a quality of life that we're doing. There's something way bigger, and there has to be that in a home or a loan or anything else. They may put off making a decision because you've given them too much information. Don't give them, just tone it down. Remember, I know you know everything, but just keep it to yourself, okay? If you give them too much information, here you go, it pops up. Okay, thanks, we need to think it over. Give them less. Remember, two options. Here's option one or option two. Which do you guys feel more comfortable with? Which do you see will help solve your situation the best? But just two. Don't give them too much, or they're going to say, see you later. We're so goofed up now, we're going to rent forever. And really, one of the last reasons that they don't make a decision, they're just a suspect. See, you thought they were a prospect, and they're not. There's a huge difference between a suspect and a prospect. Prospects have at least an inkling of making a decision and moving forward. Suspects, they're everywhere. They're the ones that just go around looking at houses all day, don't buy them, calling for a rate quote, don't even need a loan. I mean, so maybe you thought they were, you asked questions and you sort of matched up what they needed, but now you can't get the deal closed. They're probably just a suspect. And in this market today, you have to go through a lot of suspects to find that one prospect that you can turn into a client for life. That used to not be as dramatic as it is today. I said earlier, you could talk to 10 people in the past and you could get a loan for 7 of them. You could close 7 of them on buying a house or buying a car or anything else. Good times. Programs for everybody. But today, that same 10 people, I may be only able to move forward with 2 of them. See, 2 out of 10 is a whole different than 7 or 8 out of 10. Well, again, a lot of your colleagues couldn't tolerate that. They were okay when it was easy, but as soon as it became more difficult and more skills were required, they said, I'm out. I'll go back to doing something else. So, yeah, it's not easy. It's not supposed to be. That's why this is 7 steps. It's like you've got to go through each one of these. You've got to be better. You've got to have great skills, not just, hey, where you guys want to get going and sign here. So find the hidden objection, and remember, the first one might just be a smokescreen. When somebody says, oh, I'm not sure we can afford it, that's not an objection. That's not an objection. That's that they don't understand yet. Make it easy for your customer to say yes. Make it easy. Don't make it difficult for them. Step 7, well, I guess it's you still haven't got the deal. I mean, you've done everything, but you haven't got the signature yet. Well, step 7 is what I call follow-up. If you still don't have a signature, if you still haven't closed for agreement, if you're not ready to move forward, don't walk away without at least a win. And the only way you can get a win is by setting up an appointment for a follow-up meeting. That's it. This is where you say, all right, guys, I got it. All right, you convinced me. I know that you need right now just to give it a rest, that you need to roll this around your head. So here's what I want to do. Let's set up an appointment where we can reconvene at a later date, and I can get back and check back in with you and see how we're doing. Remember, this is the last step. But if you don't have an appointment to follow up later, if you leave with just going, okay, guys, I'll call you back. No, an appointment. I believe them. They do need some time. Remember that one about some people put off a decision even if it's in their best interest. So I'll tell you what. Let's get back together. How about Thursday? We'll get back together at 6:30. Because you see, following up is nothing more than the sales cycle starting all over again. Does that make sense? It's just, really look at it that way. See, it's not just following up. It's the sales cycle having a restart. Here we go again, right? Back into it. Back to discovery. What'd you guys come up with? What was your biggest concern? See, it starts it all over again. By the way, in the follow-up step, the real objection may be revealed right there, just in that alone. Was anything left unclear that I said? It may come up. So in that follow-up also, make sure that you use a handwritten thank you note, not only to acknowledge the meeting and to thank them, but to confirm the time and the day of your follow-up meeting. And I call it that. It's a follow-up meeting. It's not, oh, I'll call you Thursday to see how what you came up with. No, it's a meeting to reconvene. All we're doing is giving it a rest. And I think sometimes it needs a rest. And I know in this marketplace, we want them to, well, I want to walk out with a deal. But, you know, I think we've got to do everything. Because if you've gone through every step and you really haven't really solidified the close, then I think it's time to back off. And then go right back in. Get back in there, as they say, all right? Dust yourself off. Get back in there on a follow-up call. So preparation, connection, discovery, matching, close for agreement, generating objections rather than waiting for them, and following up will not guarantee you a sale. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you what. There's got to be something that you're doing that you can say, no, I have a system. I kind of sit down and I go through my system. You tailor it again to your style. You tailor it to your personality. But again, I don't think you can skip. You can't go from connection to matching. That's what happened 3-4 years ago. You can't do that. We left out a critical step along the way. So, in summary, these 7 steps are simple, but they're not easy. It's all about execution, and it's all about practice. And I think part of it is that practice. And then executing it. It's one thing to know something, but who cares what you know? I'd rather have you go talk to a few different people and be sure that you give them what they need so that they can make a decision clearly. So it's not what you know, it's what you do. So the right step today could be the first step. The first step is a number of things. Number one, if you got something out of today, use it now. Who do you need to call right now? Think of that. Is there somebody right now that you could call that you left out a step? Maybe there's somebody you need to call back and say, you know what, the last time that we talked, I forgot to ask you this. So maybe today it's just you got reminded that there's somebody that you need to get back into touch with, and importantly, do that quickly. So sometimes the right step is just the first step. For some of you, the first step is going to be able to say thanks to Josh Millar I'm channeling Josh in the Ibis Group by looking at their product. They stepped up today and said that your continued success in today's marketplace is important. So be sure that you go to meetrealtors.com. They've got a great product. You got to take a look at this. Finding a realtor that's willing to work today and work together with you is not easy. Josh has found a way to shorten that cycle as well, so make sure you look at that. It's www.meetrealtors.com. So that's one way that you can say thanks to Josh for sponsoring today's call. Even though I don't know how, but I got him X'd out, so I'm kind of Josh now. For me, take a look at my website, BillSparkmanTheCoach.com. I have a lot of these articles we've talked about in there. They're free. Click. Here you go. If there's anything there that you see that can help you, print it off and use it. I have a new product. It's called Systems for Selling, Turning Suspects into Profits. If you order that, thanks to Josh at the Ibis Group and meetrealtors.com, you get a free copy of my book, How to Sell to an Idiot, 12 Steps of Selling Anything to Anyone. That's my pitch, BillSparkmanTheCoach.com. I am going to wish all of you a prosperous rest of the day. Be kind along the way, and share the wealth. And that part of that share the wealth is be sure to pass the information that you've learned to somebody else. I'll look forward to being with you all again soon. And thanks again to Josh, the Ibis Group, and Meet Realtors Now. Meet Now is the key. MeetRealtors.com. Everybody have a great day. Keep winning. I'll see you all soon.